So, okay. So anyway, let me start my preach this morning. So I want to pray for us all before I start, because I feel like we're going to need faith this morning. That's why that song was so cool about the faith. The prophetic song came about God fill our hearts with faith as we fill this place with praise. So let me pray for us, and then Jesus, yeah, we need faith this morning, God. And it can only come from you, God. It can only come from seeing you, from knowing you. Yeah, all these great men of faith, they had encounters with you, God. They heard your voice. They were burning bushes. They were dreams. They were angels. We need that faith this morning, God. We cannot please you without faith. Even came out in the prayer meeting. It's impossible to please you without faith. So I just pray for an impartation of faith to every person in this building this morning, God. Come and fill our hearts with faith, Lord, as we fill this place with praise, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So have you got that image of the earth? Maybe you can pop that up for us. Right. Who knows what that is? That is earth, okay? So this picture, there are actually very few pictures of like Earth, funny enough, because most of the images you see are like representations. They graphically, because the satellites would take, you know, hundreds of photos and then they stitch together. So all those nice photos you see of the planet are often just CGI. But this was taken out of the Apollo 17 in 1972, I think. And that is the place where we live, where we do life, where we work, where we're going to die, unfortunately. And it's an interesting picture because that's actually Africa right there. You see Africa. It looks like a desert, eh? It doesn't look very, very habitable. And the crazy thing about this picture is like all civilizations were kind of masked by the clouds and stuff. Anyway, that is the image. And like I said, this is where we work. This is where we do life. And this morning, I really felt the Lord wants to remind us that this is not our home. It's not our home. And maybe you can put up that Philippians 3:13. Just... this is Paul, and this would be my disclaimer this morning. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, I forget what's behind and I strain toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. Okay. I haven't got this thing yet. I'm also, let's get there together. That revelation that this is not our home. You know, Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He was like, it's better that I go home. But when I'm here, I'm going to like run towards Christ. So, okay, have you guys got your thinking caps on? I'm going to read a lot of scripture this morning, okay? Because this is the Bible. I want to tell you guys what the Bible says, not what Hans thinks. So let's go to Hebrews 11, verse 8 to 16. Take note of my time. Dan Barnard says, if you don't set an alarm, you're going to preach too long. It's good, Dan. Hebrews 11, verse 8 to 16. Okay, here we go. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is before Jesus even came. They were looking forward, longing for a better country, a heavenly one. And then let's fast forward to the New Testament, the great apostle Paul in Colossians 3, verse 1 to 4. He says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." So when it says we have died, it means that when we got saved, we died. We died to self, and we resurrected with Christ. And you might have seen our little slogan as Just Gen, dying to live. You know, that's what it's all about. We have died, but in order that we can live. So we are foreigners. We are aliens, some translations say. We need to know that. We need to grasp that. We need to realize that, yes, we inhabit that planet, but it's not our home. Some people might understand what it means to be a foreigner. Maybe you're from a different country and you're living here. You'll probably get it a little bit more than us because, you know, you don't hear your language. The cultures are different. And often people will be drawn to their own culture in a different country. I don't know if you've seen it. Like, you know, all the Asian people will get together. Even though they live in South Africa, they will go and eat at their specific food and speak their language. And we all do it. We all gravitate towards that because that's where we're comfortable. But we are foreigners. 1 Peter 1:13 to 17 says, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed that he's coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.' Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear." Okay. We are foreigners. Again, in 1 Peter 2, verse 11, it says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." Okay. We are foreigners. So we have to forget about the country we left, okay? Let me explain that. I'm going to go to those first two scriptures I read again. So Philippians 3, verse 13. "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forget what is behind and strain toward what is ahead." That's the Philippians one. The Hebrews one maybe puts it even better. Hebrews 11, verse 15. These are the scriptures we read in that first section of this preach. "If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one." So if we consume ourselves with thoughts and with the desires of this world, then we're going to be tempted to return. Okay? Think of the Israelites. I remember Luke did it a few weeks ago. He was talking about the Israelites and their 40 years. in the desert when they didn't take the land and then they had to go back for 40 years. They were walking around in circles. It was because they were tempted to return to their land. They kept grumbling. They were like, oh, can't we just go back? They were like cursing Moses, you know, like, can't we just go back? At least we had food in Egypt, you know. But they were slaves. But they were thinking about it. And that's what tempted them to return to it. So we need to renew our minds. We need to constantly be setting our hope and our gaze on Jesus, you know. Fully sober. Set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed that he's coming. We need to be living like this. We need to be living, looking there. And yes, we live in the world. And we have to work. And we have to pay taxes. And we have to clean our homes. And we have to drive our cars. And we have to put in insurance claims when we crash into people. And all that stuff. That is life. And But the enemy, remember, this is his plan. He wants to distract us. Like, this is, the enemy is real, you know. As much as God is real, the enemy is real. And he wants to distract. Even Jesus, when Jesus was tempted, he was like, what was he offering? He was offering the kingdoms of this world. And Jesus knew, like, no, there's a better kingdom. I'm not, you know, there's a different kingdom. God's got a different plan. Don't let the enemy distract us. So, the good news is we have a home, okay? This is what is written in John 14, 1 to 3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. We have a home. It's our eternal home. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful place. And I'd encourage you to go and research it. Go and read Revelation. Go and read this. Like Randy Alcorn wrote this book. It's so big. I think I got through the first chapter and then I was like, anyway, you can try maybe. Maybe you can do better on heaven. It's like, there's a lot of clues in the Bible as to how incredible this place may be. But the most incredible thing is that Jesus is there. The one our souls long for every time we worship. The one that draws us here on a Sunday, even though we don't want to come and our kids say, why do we have to go? It's because Jesus is drawing us. He's the one. He's heaven. So I'm going to talk now, about homing in. Have you guys heard the term homing in? Going to home in. Some people say hone in. The military uses it with homing signals and honing in. Maybe you can put up that other image I gave you. Introduce you to these little guys. Hey, pigeons. You get lovers and you get haters of pigeons. I won't tell you which category I fall into. Some people train them and make them nice lofts to live in. Other people shoot them. Okay, I know Bruce Mackay loves them. Where's Bruce? He loves pigeons. You can ask him about it. I'm kidding. He hates them. He thinks he calls them sky rats. But these are incredible creatures because they have this natural instinct to get home. They instinctively will return to the place that they were born and bred. They can travel up to 1,000 kilometers to get home. At speeds of up to 160 kilometers an hour. Okay? These are incredible little creatures. Now if you think of their little size and 1,000 kilometers, it's like us circling the globe basically. Okay? And they can do this without anyone telling them where to go. They have a natural instinct. We have a natural instinct to get lost. Am I wrong? We have a natural instinct to be lazy, to be drawn to the sinful desires because of the flesh, because of the seed of Adam, because we were born into sin. Our natural instinct is to sin. Okay? I can tell you that I've raised two kids. I think it was at 3 months old when I saw sin in them. I was like, wow, that's early, you know. I didn't teach you that, okay? So how do these guys do it? So scientists believe they use a toolkit of different senses. And I'm going to like parallel some of these pigeon senses with the ways that we need to tuning our homing beacons. Okay. So they use the sun as a compass. Okay. So Jesus is our sun compass. Okay. We need to do what he did. Okay. What would Jesus do? Remember, we got the bracelets. What would Jesus do? We need to be thinking that continuously. We need to learn about him. We need to read the Bible to find out what did Jesus say. Like some of the Bibles have Jesus' words in red. Man, go and read those red letters and go and find out what did Jesus say. What did he teach? Who is he? He's our sun compass. He's the way home. Okay? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can know the Father unless they know me. Jesus is the way home. He's the doorway, but he's also like the tunnel, you know? And we need to stay in that tunnel continuously. And when we step out, we need to really look at how do we get back into Jesus as our sun compass. Okay, John 14, verse 4 to 7 says, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. You know the way to the place where I am going. Jesus, the way to the Father. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Okay. So Jesus is our sun compass. And, you know, Jesus is the way to the Father. Like, we also need to know that the Father is home. Okay, there are many rooms in my Father's house. Jesus is actually just the one leading us home to the Father. We pray to the Father. Jesus, how do you pray? He said, our Father in heaven. So we need to find the Father in the same way. We need to, he's where we're going. He's our home. It's in his house. It's, you know, the plan was always in that Garden of Eden was God the Father walking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. That's home. That's who we're going back to. So that brings me to my second toolkit that these pigeons use. It's infrasound. It's like a sound. They pick up like sounds and magnetic fields and stuff. And for us, we need to know the Father's voice. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. Okay? Like I already said, the Lord's Prayer, it's our Father in heaven. Okay, we need to pray. That's how we connect with God. We need to pray to him. If you struggle with prayer, I often do this. I just go back to the Lord's Prayer and I take each line and I just camp out there, our Father. Wow. And then, you know, meditate on that. Wow, you're our Father. You're my Father. You together, you're our Father, the body of Christ. Hallowed be your name. Wow, your name is amazing. You know, holy is your name, Lord. Start declaring it. That's how we tune in to hear the Father's voice. Once again, the word, the Bible, it's the Father's words. It's life-giving. It's full of life. There are thousands and thousands of the Father's words in the Bible. Go and study them, read them, take them in, declare them, write them on your walls. We often go through stuff in life and it's often been scriptures that have kept us alive. Seriously. It's finding a scripture. Whenever I go through something, I'm like, God, give me a scripture. Even my wife, you know, recently was going through some medical stuff. She's like, okay, I just need a scripture. And then she's got the one scripture. And then that's the thing that she just hangs on to for dear life. Okay, let's be those people. And then the next one is geomagnetic. And that I just call the Holy Spirit. Okay. He's the guy, one who guides us. He's our comforter. He's the paracletus, the one who runs alongside us. He's the way home. He knows the way home. Okay? If you're lost, he knows the way home. And Jesus said, I have to leave so that I can give you my spirit. So in a way, it's better that Jesus left so that we can all get the Holy Spirit. And he's available, and he's there, and he's a person. He's one of the Trinity. You can speak to him. You can ask him for help. You can ask him for directions. Let's be a spirit-led people, because the Holy Spirit will lead the way home. And then the last thing they use is landmarks, okay? And so for us, I want to read us a scripture. And so landmark would, for us would be like, how am I doing? Am I still on track? What are the landmarks to tell me if I'm on the track home? And maybe we can pull up that Colossians 3. It says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality. So these would be the indicators that these would be bad landmarks, like, I'm off track here. Is there sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry? Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So these are the bad landmarks, okay? When you identify these things in your life, then you need to go like, uh-oh, I'm on the wrong path here and I might not make it home. It's a scary thought. I love the fact that we're doing this purity course as a congregation. It's one of the things there. It's one of the bad landmarks. Impurity. Okay. And now, so it's amazing that those guys are there. And let's keep them in prayer, you know, because we want to be pure. We want to be a pure, spotless bride. And if there's any impurity, the Bible says a little bit of yeast will work through the whole batch. So we all need to be actually like fighting for these guys doing this purity course. I feel like we need to pray for them right now. Would those guys doing the course be brave enough to stand up? But there's a lot of you, so no one's going to judge you. Where's Gala and Jean? Do you guys want to come? They're kind of spearheading this. Maybe you can pray over them.
Yeah, it's a courageous thing, eh? To live in the light and to want to fight for this. So this is something we do as a family. Luke sent out a message to a few of us just saying, if there's one thing we're praying for at the moment, it's this thing for all of us. So let's pray. I'll pray for the guys and then maybe you can pray for the ladies. Yeah. Our Father, thank you that you're taking us home, Lord, and you're taking us to a place where we will be fully restored, Lord. But you're giving us this opportunity to live for you on this side of eternity. And I pray for every single man that is called to do great things in your kingdom, that has been created with a purpose and a hope to be used mightily for your kingdom, to advance your kingdom, that even now, this morning, things would break right now in your spirit, Lord. That your power would come and break things that have been strongholds for ages. And Lord, that you would do a renewing mind in all of us to see your beauty and your holiness it's something that we long for and we love, that we fall in love with. And I pray for as men, we would find courage and boldness to say, I'm not going to let the enemy tell me these lies anymore. I'm going to live for Christ, and I'm going to bring these things into the light. And I'm going to live as one that is free, believing that you have done everything on the cross.
Yes, Lord, thank you that you are the healer. You are the redeemer. You are the restorer. You are in the business of restoring, Lord. And I pray for each lady who has boldly committed to a journey towards greater purity and greater freedom, Lord. I pray for your power to reign in their lives, Lord, to break strongholds and to bring freedom. I pray for your tenderness to meet them where they're at. Thank you that you know each lady dearly and you love each lady and you are more passionate about their purity than they are. And I pray that you would meet them where they're at. Minister with your kindness, with your grace, with your healing, and with your power, Lord Jesus. That each lady would step out of the other side, no longer bound, completely free, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Let's keep praying for these guys as they do this course. And there are many others, eh? Things that belong to the earthly nature, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry, anger, rage, malice, slander. Do you get angry? We should all have compulsory board game nights in home groups, and then we'll quickly see the ones who struggle with greed and anger. Monopoly, especially Monopoly. Monopoly will show us. Okay, but do that. Like, look at those landmarks. If you want to get home, then you need to use this. You need to use these landmarks. You need to, you know, in home groups, we need to be real with each other, and we need to not just bring our best side on a home group night. We need to be real with guys and tell them, like, hey, man, I got angry at work this week, and I shouted at my colleague, like, yo, Oaks, don't you just want to pray for me? I need freedom in this. The incredible thing is that Jesus' blood covers all that stuff. Okay? When we come to Jesus, his blood washes us clean. And so it's not without his sacrifice. You can't do these things in your own strength. It's by his blood. It's by the power of the cross that we can conquer these things, that we can put sin to death with the help of the Holy Spirit. So the second part of that scripture, that's Colossians 3 verse 12 to 16, these are the good landmarks. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Okay, these are the good landmarks. Good thing is we actually did that this morning. Wasn't that an amazing time in worship where we were just grateful and we're just singing with gratitude in our hearts? It was very refreshing to just do it almost without like a song and words. It was like we really had to just sing out of gratitude in our hearts. It was great. So these are the good landmarks. Are these things in your life? Do you see, you know, are you kind and loving to each other? If you are, that's great. We're on the right trajectory. Keep doing it. If not, we go and repent. And if we have a grievance, we go and we forgive as the Lord forgave us. All right, so we are citizens in heaven, okay? Philippians 3 verse 20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Let that just be the reminder this morning that our citizenship is in heaven. And we are like ambassadors. Okay, and an ambassador, if you think of, there's an American embassy in Turkey. I don't know if anybody's ever been there. It's like Fort Knox. You don't even want to look at the guys funny because they might just shoot you. Seriously, that's what it feels like. I don't know if anybody's ever been there for a visa. It's like quite scary. And you know, those people, they live in, it's almost like they live in America in that little Fort Knox. And in fact, the ambassador in South Africa for America, he's not a citizen of South Africa. None of those guys that work there have South African passports. Okay, they are citizens of America. And that's how we are. We are ambassadors for Christ. So our passports are for heaven. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed us to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. Okay? We represent Him. And we've been given a task. So we're not just flying home. We actually have a specific purpose on the way home. And that's to be ministers of this reconciliation message and to be ambassadors for Christ. That's an incredible privilege. As though God were making His appeal through us. Yo, don't forget how God found you and how He made the appeal through someone to you. Like, you know. So let us, as we journey home and we put these things to death, let us always be vigilant and like, hey God, like what, is there someone else that needs to know this? And even today we're going to give an opportunity for someone that might be here and you're just living in the world and you want to find your way home. And there's only one way to get there. And it's through the gateway that is Jesus. Because He said He's the way, the truth, and the life. We're going to give you an opportunity in a moment. I want to finish with a poem. I'm not normally into poems, but this is a hymn writer. And I just thought it's beautiful. It talks about Jesus' journey. It's by Henry Van Dyke. Thou wayfaring Jesus, a pilgrim and stranger, exiled from heaven by love at thy birth, exiled again from thy rest in the manger, a fugitive child amid the perils of earth. Cheer with thy fellowship all who are weary, wandering far from the land that they love. Guide every heart that is homeless and dreary, safe to its home in thy presence above. So we get to be co-heirs and laborers with Jesus. And I want to read this last scripture before I land. This is Jesus praying for His disciples. It's in the book of John, and it's a beautiful section. John 17, verse 13. It says, this is one of those red letter sections. Go and find it. It's beautiful. It says, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world. So remember, Jesus is praying to His Father. He's not, this is actually Him praying to His Father. He says, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. We are like Jesus. We share this with him. And we get to share his home with him too one day. That's the most beautiful part.